one off really quickly. Good morning. Good morning. C3 Stand. I'm excited to be with you this morning. I have to do a couple of announcements because I'm back, and it wouldn't be the same if I didn't. So it's not our all-in. Some of our lunches are, but we are having our first lunch back next week. So I didn't want to just gloss over that. So we're excited to have our first lunch back together next week. So please, it's potluck lunch, so please bring a dish for everybody to share, and we're all going to have lunch for the first time this year next week. All right, so bring a dish for everybody to share. We're all going to eat together and have lunch together. And the Hepburn Heights at 6 p.m., that's for everybody. Everybody's welcome to that. So even if you aren't actually, I want to encourage you to all be a part of a serving team and serve in this church. I don't know if I'm, am I going in and out with this mic as well? Oh, okay, no worries. I think I'm loud enough for now. But if you're not, I do want to encourage you to be part of a serving team. But even if you're not and you want to come to that, you are welcome to come to that. So 6 p.m. on the 9th of March, I think right, without looking behind me, the 9th of March. Is this, are we good? Should I get another one? Paul's about to run and give me another one before I start. Let's do this, Paul. Thank you. Was like a really swift move with the microphone. Okay. Before I get started, so we had our intimate encounter worship morning last week, and I briefly brought up what had been going on in this last couple of weeks. And so we've actually lost a few really dear people to us in this church, and a couple that would sit at the back, that two seats are there next to George, his two mates, which are two mates of all of us. And so we have two funerals coming up. We have Lionel's coming up on the 26th of February, which is not this Wednesday, it's next the Wednesday after. If you would like to go to that, please come and see me, because that's a capped amount of people, but the amount of people that love Lionel, you're all welcome to come. That'll be at Hetherington Funeral Home in Maddington, so that's at 10 a.m. on the 26th of February, so Wednesday week. And Pete, oh, I thought I'd get through this without crying. That'll be on the 6th of March, that'll be here at 10 a.m. So you're all welcome to come to that. And then they'll be awake here after that. As well as Lionel's, they'll be awake at the Hetherington Funeral Home in Maddington. Everyone, like, you're all welcome to that as well. And the family would love to meet you, because they didn't know you. And we celebrated Pete's 90th at the end of November, which we got to celebrate his life, which not many people get to see their own tribute slideshow and get to see people actually speaking about them while they're still alive. Not many people get to do that. But Pete wouldn't have known Jesus without walking through those doors 10 years ago for our community dinners. And it was just because one of our members at the time thought, I'm going to go outside, because Pete used to sit by the letterbox waiting for Anglicare or someone to come pick him up and bring him to some social gathering and wherever, to the shops, wherever they used to bring him. And he used to sit at our letterbox, and we used to see him all the time sitting out there. And one of our members thought, I'm going to go invite him to dinner. So they went and invited him to dinner, and he started coming from the get-go. And then he ended up having his place at the seat, at the table. But he became our oldest volunteer, and he would come almost every day that we were in the office and knock on Clint's window, knock on my window, and it almost got to a point, it's like, oh, Pete, because he would come in, we'd have to make him a coffee, and then he'd sit in our office for hours. And we'd put on music for him, and he would sing his little heart out in the foyer and then in the office and just talk. And he ended up getting the name Grumpy Pete, and he actually loved that name. We made him a certificate and everything with that name. But we watched him take the bins out as slow as he would be. He would take our bins out every week. He would bring the bins in every week. He didn't want anybody else to do it. He would do our bread. We used to get Baker's Delight. Paul and Caroline would pick it up on the Monday night, drop it off here on the Monday night. He would come in on the Tuesday morning. We would bag it, the group would bag it, and he would take it from one end to the table the whole morning. And then he would come and put the flowers on the table, and he would come put the salt and pepper shakers on the table. And that's what he would do for his Tuesday morning. And he did this for years, faithfully. And as time went on, and for different reasons, he fell ill. We had Paul and Caroline that would take him to different appointments and just looked after him. And then I think it was a year and a half to 2 years ago, he moved into Juniper Hilltop Care. And this church has just looked after him, cared for him, loved him, and become his family. And we were able to celebrate his 90th birthday. And on Friday, we'd gone, the 7th, I had rocked up to somewhere, parked my car, and then thought, I shouldn't be here, I should go see Pete. And I was, didn't even get out of my car, left the car park, went to see him. And I'm sitting there, and Caroline's dad had passed away that week, which is the same week that Lionel had passed away a few days earlier. And I had had this prompting to go and see him, and I'm sitting with him, and no one thought he was near death. He had had an infection, he had had a fall, but no one thought he was near death. But I had had a prompting, which I believed at the time to be from God, which now I was confirmed it was from God, but at the time I had believed it was from God, had gone there, and I was there for a few hours, and I'm looking at him, and he's in and out of sleep, and he was in a lot of pain. And I thought, God, you have me here to actually watch him pass. And it was difficult. And at one point I won't go through the whole thing that had happened in those few hours, but at one point I had to go outside while they were cleaning him up. And I met an elderly guy called Lionel. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing to me right now. And then I went back in, and he's in and out of sleep, and he'd wake up and he's like, love, are you still there? I'm like, I'm still here. And Pete's usually like, he's okay if we come and go, but he was very much, are you still here? I'm still here, Pete. He really wanted to speak to Caroline and give condolences to Caroline, so Caroline got to speak to him. She was 2 hours away with her mum at the time, so she got to speak to him on this day. I knew I'm going to be here for his last day, and that Caroline's going to call me this evening. Then I leave. He's then didn't fail to chat the nurses up still when he's gets cleaned up. And he starts like he's got his number one honey bunny nurse. And she's like, yeah, you got to have another honey bunny. I'm not going to see you till Monday. He's like, no, you're my honey bunny. And anyway, he's chatting the nurse up. I'm like, oh, he's, back to normal. He's okay. I must only be here to just usher him through his pain for these few hours and get him to talk to Caroline, remind him that his nephew was here last night. Maybe that's why I was here, because I knew what God was saying, but this is not what people are saying. And so I thought, okay, he's okay. She fed him ice cream. He's in love with her. I can go now. So I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. So I go. He's good with me going now. He's okay. He's settled. I leave. I talk to Caroline. I'm like, this is what I'm feeling. She calls me. She's like, no, they're saying he's nowhere near that. I'm like, maybe I'm just here for this. It was around 8:30. I felt the phone vibrate on my leg. And I just knew it was Caroline. I tell you all this to say, you all have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. To be so sensitive to the Spirit is what that transformation of Jesus Christ is on the inside of you. What the vision is for this next, I don't believe is for 2025. I believe is for the next. And it's who we are as a church, it's who you are as people, is who we will become and is who it will keep going. Pete knew Jesus because somebody went out there and said, come to dinner. We met Lionel because through COVID, it wasn't good enough to just shut the doors. And we went, you know what? Let's make meals and go out and deliver. And so then let's put a notice out. Lionel was caring for his wife. They couldn't leave the house. He responded to this. And so then Lionel would call me every Monday, because you're meant to leave a message on my phone with how many people in your household, what do you need, blah, 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 blah. No, but he wasn't good enough. He didn't want to leave a message. He wanted to talk to me every single Monday. I'd go for a walk and Lionel would talk to me for about 15, 20 minutes about his church life, what he used to do before he was a carer and what they used to do in church, and they used to do dinners and he used to speak and he used to do all this sort of stuff. And that's what we did. And so then Neil was always going up to Lionel's house and delivering his hampers. And when dinners came back, Lionel started coming with his wife. He couldn't come to church because he couldn't leave her at home. So he used to watch us online. He started watching us online. But what we got to do with Lionel was able to go, Lionel, come in for prayer. He used to pray. Lionel, do you want to do grace? He used to do grace. It just gave Lionel back this breath of going, I'm able to be a part of this church. So when his wife passed, he was devastated. It's a year this month. He was broken. We all know. And he just wanted to be with his wife. But he was able to come here and have family and still be a part of something. That's what this church does. We may not be a huge church, but being family is what this church does well. But if we don't know what transformation is on the inside of us, we drop off. We fall. We turn around and go, I can't do it anymore. Because you're doing it by your own strength, going, oh, I can be here as long as. I can be family as long as they're nice to me. I can be family as long as they don't offend me. I can be family as long as they are nice to me. I don't know how many people here in the last 24 hours have gone through something, have felt discouraged, have felt like, you know what, I don't know if I have the motivation, the energy, or felt discouraged, or felt something, right? This is what I was sitting there last night, and I'm praying for this, and I felt something, almost like something gripped me. I'm excited for this word, but I felt this something. What is that? Because what I feel here is that it's not just for this church, it's for you. It does not matter how old you are, because if you can grasp what this word of transformation is for your life, because we're talking about being true followers of Christ, if you can actually grasp what that word is for your life, that'll change your life. It doesn't change my life. It doesn't change my life whether you grasp it or not. We can grow this church, we can be community in this church, and we can be all excited together. And this is amazing, and you can, us as pastors, and go, yeah, wow, we're flourishing. But it doesn't change my life. It changes your life. So if you are distracted or discouraged, or you've been going through something, or you're feeling something, or unmotivated, or, you know, you just feel a little bit distracted, or you feel a little bit like, I don't know if I wanted to come today, or you didn't come today, and now you're watching, or however that looks, know that you're one, you're not alone, and two, there's actually an assignment for you not to get this word. Because if you really grasp this word, it'll change your life, right? It'll change your life. So this word, gone the long way around, but this word, we started in 2023 talking about the table, coming to the table, right? Coming to the table with us, ourselves and Jesus, coming to the table with us as church, and this is where we started our monthly lunches, and then coming to the table as us with community, and this is where we've had our dinners going 10 years this year, but this is sort of like it just put it all together. It was coming to the table, and we just learned how to do that together individually and as community, because it just encompassed the whole thing. Last year, it was all about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit that's in on the inside of us? And we sort of just dived a little bit into who the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. And I just felt that God was saying last year was such, because we had started in 2023, August officially, we were transitioning, but August officially, last year was a really transitional year. This year felt it was a really transformational year. Not just transformational because we're standing here, but transformational in establishment, transformational in what God's actually doing on the inside of us, what God's actually doing as with us as a church. Establishment, that was the word that I felt. And it's not re-establishing, it just felt it was establishing, right? What makes us so different, right? And so you can see a picture of a tiramisu. I'm going to get there in a second because you're wondering, why is there a tiramisu in the corner of the screen? I know you're all thinking that. Anyway, but I want to go for a couple of scriptures that I feel that, well, not that I feel. So some of you know, some of you don't know me, and like personally and how God speaks to me. God speaks to me in very early hours of the morning. I've tried to change that. Does not work. And he speaks to me in dreams, and he speaks to me through scriptures, and I don't know the Bible off heart, sorry, but I don't. And so then I got to go, okay, where are these scriptures? And then I end up finding him. So he really spoke through Isaiah 51 for me as a part of this vision and a part of our next. So I'm going to go through a couple of the scriptures that he's spoken. So I'm going to give you almost like an overview, and then we're going to break it down over a few weeks. Then we're going to break it down for the year, but this is sort of like a, let me just give it all to you. All right, Isaiah 51 verse 2. Right where it, from where it says, yes, think. Think about Abraham, your ancestor, and Sarah who gave birth to your nation. Abraham was only one man when I called him, but when I blessed him, he became a great nation. All right, I'm going to say that again, not from the yes. From Abraham was only one man when I called him, but when I blessed him, he became a great nation. That's every single one of you. That's not just because a pastor says to you, okay, now it's your time because I've seen something in you. Jesus is way bigger than any person. And it says, when I blessed him, he became a great nation. So if you're sitting here going, I'm not seen, he sees you. When I blessed him, he became a great nation. You are all one man. We are all one man. But when God blesses you, you become a great nation. So how are you seeking him? Or are you waiting for Elton and myself to go, oh, now I see you? It says, when I blessed him. I'm not trying to say that Elton and I don't see you. I'm just trying to get your eyes to go look up instead of looking at us, because when you look at man, man fails you. Always. Always. There will be times I will fail you, Elton will fail you. Always. And I think that's almost done on purpose, because it has to. Because if you hold us up always as, oh, pastors don't fail me, then when do you look to God? So I think it's almost set up like it has to happen like that. Otherwise, we don't see God as being God. So that's the only reason I'm saying God, when God blessed him, he became a great nation. Verse 3, her desert will blossom like Eden, her barren wilderness like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found there. Songs of thanksgiving will fill the air. So I'm going to say that one again. Her desert will blossom like Eden. There's been so many times throughout the years that each one of you have felt like you've been in another wilderness or a desert. And it's not a bad thing, because that's where God speaks. We sometimes can feel like, oh, I'm in the wilderness and this is such a bad thing and I don't want to be in the wilderness, I want to be in the valley. But the wilderness, when you break it down, going through the Hebrew and going through all of that, it actually means he's speaking to you. That's actually what it means. That's where you want to be sometimes. You want to be where God's speaking to you, right? It gets to a point where you want to be there and you want to be where God's speaking to you. But then it says, okay, now he says, we'll blossom like Eden, her barren wilderness, like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found there. Songs of thanksgiving will fill the air. That's what I feel is the atmosphere and the culture of this place. We were talking last year through Advent about joy and about thanksgiving. Without me even knowing, this is what he's going to give us. So he's been teaching us how to be joyful people, not joyful in a feeling, although that's a fruit, but joyful as people because of who he is. And then thanksgiving, because we were talking about Psalm 126, remember what the great things the Lord has done. Remember where we've come from. Remember the great things the Lord has done. He was saying that already to us through Christmas and through the beginning of the year without really even knowing this is what he's saying to us, because this is what he wants to fill this air with. Now, verse 15 and 16, where this whole thing started in this scripture for me from the Lord was, I have put my words in your mouth. That was the only line that kept coming to me, probably for a couple of weeks. It takes me a while. So so it was for a little while before I was like, okay, let's go. So anyway, that was the one line, right? So verse 15 and 16. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea, causing its waves to roar. My name is the Lord of heaven's armies, and I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth and hidden you safely in my hand. Sometimes we can feel very exposed. Sometimes we can feel very alone. Sometimes we can feel very out there. Sometimes we can feel very like fearful, I don't know, doubt, whatever it is that you could be facing. But he says, I have put my words in your mouth and hidden you safely in my hand. I stretched out the sky like a canopy. I think sometimes we can actually just forget how big he is. I don't think we can comprehend it, but I think we try to, but then I think we even forget that part. I stretched out the sky like a canopy and laid the foundations of the earth. I laid the foundations of the earth. I am the one who says to Israel, you are my people. That's to every single one of us. You are my people. And this is where our identity in him is found. He says, you are my people. To be this is to be true, authentic followers abiding in Christ. Through different studies, and it's an American study, so I don't even know where I'd find this study in Australia, but a few years back, there was a study that was to do with Christians, and it said that at this particular place, there was 76 or 78% who called themselves Christians, and through an individual study, out of those people, it was 8% that ended up being followers of Christ. It does not compute. That's not how the Bible spoke about Christians to be. Christian, because I want to go to heaven. We sung about the blood this morning. It's through the blood that we have access to have this relationship with Christ. And I don't want to say this in any other way than, because it could sound quite blunt, but we water down what he did and the pain he went through and everything he did when all we do is go, yes, be my savior, now I'm going to heaven. He did not do it just so you could go to heaven. It was the beginning, and it was so we could have a right relationship and so we can spend eternity with him. But he says, follow me. Be my disciple. We water it down when we just go, this is for me, Jesus. Follow me. You did this. You went through all this pain, so now you can follow me in my life. Answer me. That's not why he did this. We can't even comprehend the pain he went through. We can't comprehend that he would actually do this for us. We can't comprehend what the blood actually gives us access to. But how many of us can sit here and say that I am such a true follower of Christ in my every day, and we will dive more into that as of next week of what that looks like, but that we can say that my heart is a true follower of Christ, that when the next person looks at me, I look different. that they go, I want to follow like that person. I want to know the Jesus that that person knows because I am a true follower of Christ. That is where my heart is. How many of us can say that? I don't know. I'm not judging you. I'm not saying they can't. They could. I'm not saying that. But I do know that when he called the disciples, everything changed. So a couple of things I want to go over. So when he invited them, they left their boats and their nets. That was their identity. That's who they were. That's what they did. They left that. This is not to say to leave your jobs. That is not what I'm trying to say. But it was who they were, right? In those days, it was who they were. So they're trying to say, this is, it's saying what they knew and who they were, they let it down. They let it go, right? They began to obey his commands. So it was creating anew. They started getting new priorities. Their priorities didn't stay the same. They didn't just turn around and go, okay, Jesus, follow me, I stay the same. They began to learn from him. So they started creating new habits. They began to imitate him, which really is true humility, is releasing self-righteousness, because we can be very self-righteous. We can show everybody what we do. We can point people to what we do in our walk versus what Jesus does. So they release the self-righteousness. Sometimes we fail to see probably how much their lives were turned upside down. There has been a moment in your life where you gave your life to Christ. How much in that did your life turn upside down for the sake of Jesus? Not all of a sudden you gave your life and then you go, oh my gosh, now I'm under attack. No, you gave your life to Jesus and you went, okay, now Jesus, let me follow you. What do I need to change? What do I need to do? How are my priorities different? What do I need to let go of? Where do I need to let you enter into? How did that change? How did that turn around? What walls did you have to break down? Did you break down any walls? Did anything change? Did he enter into any space that was new to you? Did anything change in your life? What changed and did it change? And when did it change? And has it changed? Has it? What makes when somebody walks into this church anything different to any other church? And that's where the tiramisu comes into it. When we're in Italy, C3 tiramisu. When we were in Italy a couple of years ago, I'm not a fan of tiramisu, so don't please start getting me tiramisu. Just saying. But Taylor is. She's a huge fan of tiramisu, and my uncle's a huge fan of tiramisu. So we all went to Italy together, and we found this ice cream place. My ice cream's a lemon sorbet, Italian lemon gelato, lemon sorbet and hazelnut. And I mix them together and nobody understands that. But I can't separate them because I love them both. But anyway, that was beside the point. Tiramisu. They found this one place. It was a little pop-up shop in Lucca, little ice cream store that sold apparently the best tiramisu. So we could go anywhere and we traveled by train to all these different places in Italy from the middle where we were in Lucca. But we always came back to this pop-up ice cream store to eat this tiramisu because it didn't have the syrup, it didn't have all the other things that were added to it, it had the authentic layers in it, it had everything that was just really authentic in this thing. It wasn't because you could sit down at this place and it was, we actually had to sit outside and find benches or stand just to eat, and we weren't even eating it, right? But we had to find places to actually stand or wherever just so they could enjoy this tiramisu ice cream, which you couldn't find anywhere else because it was that authentic that we had to keep coming back to this particular store. This is what the difference is when people are following Christ, when people walk in. It doesn't matter how big we are. It doesn't matter all the programs because we're going to put in things like connect groups. We're going to put in things like, oh, you know, our welcome team. There's so many things we're going to establish this year. Have our Bible studies, have all this stuff that is in the pipeline. Because people come in and it's like, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? And they're all good things. We need those connections. I'm not saying we're not going to have them. We're going to have all of that. But without the authenticity of Christ followers, you can go to any church and find the same thing. Any church. But what is different, that's going to be different about C3 Stand, is that when you walk into these doors, you go, there's something different about those people. I want the Jesus that they know. I want to know Jesus how they know them. That's why I want to be at that church. That's why I want to know those people. Not because you smiled at me and you said hello and you didn't offend me, which we should all be doing that anyway. Not because of that. Not because we have the best welcome team. Not because we have the best connect groups or the best this or the best group or the best this. Not because we have any of that, but because we are authentic followers of Christ. This is not a new where we're throwing out the old and the establishment or a re-establishment. And that's also the tiramisu because there's layers, right? There's layers. This church has been going on, I think, from 1978 or 1979, something like that, right? So that's around the time I was born. So we don't want to say how many years, but over 40 years it's been going on for, right? It's been going on for that long. So there has been people who have sowed into this place. There is people that have given so much to this place. There is people that have lived in this place. There is people that have given their hearts to this place. People that have prayed in this place, at this altar, at this stage. There is people that have given their lives in this place, cried in this place, done so much in this place. We are not wiping any of that out. We are layering. Because this is the new that God is doing. It's like what we're singing. It's not re-establishing. It's establishing the new layer. And that's what authenticity of tiramisu is. That's what God's saying to do. We're not going backwards and going, okay, let's start from the bottom and let's get our way up. We're just layering. And we're going, everything that's been done is from God. And now it's our turn to put this layer on as C3 Stand. How do we become true followers of Christ? How do we abide in Christ? How do we actually follow Christ? How do we know how we are those people when somebody walks in and goes, I want to know the Jesus that they know? That when you come to the end of the year, you go, I'm not the same person. So when you read Psalm 126, you remember the great things that the Lord has done? You go, yeah, you know what? Because he's done those great things in me. And that's not because you're not going through stuff. And that's not because you're not going to go through stuff. That's because you know that I'm not the same person. Because it's going to be easier for me to trust God and easier for me to love God and easier for me to believe in God than it is for me to doubt God, than it is for me to fear, than it is for me to have anxiety. It's going to be easier for me to trust God. It's going to be easier for me to believe in God. It's going to be easier for me to believe in his word when I go through trouble because I'm his true disciple. That's what we're going to be as people in C3 Stand. That's what I believe. That's what I believe God is showing us. And we're community together, right? So if we were to examine our lives, right now, where are we? Where are you? Where is your heart? This is not for me to judge where you're at. Only you know that between you and God. We can show anybody anything. We can be anything. We can show anything. And the truth be known is, it doesn't really matter what you show anybody. Because at the end of the day, is between you and God. Are you a true follower or are you not a true follower? Are you call yourself a Christian or are you a follower? That's between you and God. But I know that in this church, we're going to dive into what does it look like to be a true follower, true disciple of Jesus Christ. And we're doing that together because we need to do that together. Never was he saying, let's do this alone. He didn't say do this alone. He said do this together. John 15, 1-8, I'm going to read this out. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, And whatever ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. There's a couple of things I want to say in here. You will be like branches. For one, I have never seen a grapevine with one grape and one branch. I have a grapevine in our backyard. I've never seen it happen. I don't know. When you go to wineries, never seen it happen. Has anyone seen it happen? We're meant to be in community. It's for one. For two, I don't want you to be disillusioned that you've asked God for something and it hasn't happened. Because when you remain in him and he remains in you and his words are in you and you're in him, that aligns. So when you're asking for something and that's not happening, are you aligned with him and his heart's desires for you to be asking the thing that you're asking for? So be very careful that you're asking for something and what you're asking for, if you're actually abiding in him and he's abiding in you and his words are in you and you are in him when you're asking for that thing. Because we can get so disillusioned by God, but we're actually asking for something that is nothing to do with him. So I just want to say don't be fooled by thinking everything that I ask for is going to be answered and you're not abiding in him. So I want to talk about our vision statements. There's a couple of things. So, okay, you're good with me? Okay. So vision statement. I didn't write this up here. I really should have. But anyway, okay. You can all write this down. So we're starting to, and Elton and myself will start to be up here a little bit more when we start to talk about our website and how that's starting to develop and all that sort of stuff. But I'm just really giving you everything that I can in this one message, and then we go from here and start to unpack it. But this is our vision statement. We stand on God's promises. I have to say stand because it's stand. We stand on God's promises individually, in unity, and with community. As followers of Jesus, becoming like Jesus. So we stand on God's promises individually, in unity, and with community. That's a huge one for us because it's always been at the table by ourselves with Jesus, in unity as a church and with community. So individually, in unity and with community, as followers of Jesus, becoming like Jesus. We do this following discipleship together, supporting one another, learning together and growing faith together. That's how we do this together. And then, so in the last, eight months, we've had a graphic designer from Hepburn Heights working on who we are in our branding. And I had no idea what she would come up with other than this is who we are, brought in our dinners and all of this sort of stuff and our community and unity. And, you know, we stand on God's promises and the line in the sand, because for you who don't know, the stand and the T, like the line, that's how it sort of came about when we were at the conference in Singapore last year in May, that God was just saying, this is a line in the sand. And not being that, like I said, we're chucking everything out, it was just another layer. But it was not just in this church, it was in Langford. Instead of just going, yeah, okay, we're just going to go, this is Langford and we're on the outskirts and blah, 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 we're forgotten. It doesn't, because that's how the community can feel. That's not what it is. It's who we are in Christ and we're going to actually stand up. It was a line in the sand moment of this is who we are. This is where Stan came into it. That's a brief thing. Anyway, sent it all to her. So, if you can see all this, I'm going to try and point all this to you. So she went into the table. So you can see the table up the top. The community table inviting all. That's who we are, right? All of this at the bottom here is the map of Langford. All of the streets of Langford. These are the streets. This is the history of Langford she went into. Then she took out all the suburbs of Langford, as the streets, as it's all divided. And she made them into the shapes of their suburbs and put them in to the cross, in the table. That's pretty cool, don't you think? Yeah, be excited, guys. So this is our branding for C3 Stand. It's Langford. It's the map of Langford with the cross in the middle of it in the table. You can't get better than that. Like, you can't, because it's the cross right in the middle of Langford in the table. How exciting is that? I was so excited. I can't wait to show Elsa when I got the email. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. Anyway, I was very excited. Just the thoughtfulness behind that, I was just, how does someone think of that? Like, that was just amazing. Anyway, I was very, very, very excited for that. So she actually took Elton, let me just say, not that this was ever going to be our branding, but when Elton first came up there and was like, this is Stan, and he had the big cross in the big cross in the stand, she was like, I know what you're doing, but it's a bit outdated. He was like, I wasn't doing that. Anyway. It represents everything that we are. We come to the table together. We come to the table individually. That'll never be gone. That'll be who we are always. And we come to the table with our community. However that'll look, this is what we do always. And then the cross is bang smack right in the middle of the suburbs of Langford. This whole discipleship journey, following Jesus' journey, you will get to the end of the year, hopefully, and go, I'm not the same person. But this is a lifetime of learning. This is a lifetime of following. This is a lifetime of finding out who Jesus is, imitating Jesus, becoming like him. This is a lifetime, but this is the beginning, even though we've been doing the journey. And you've been doing the journey for how many years? I'm not negating any of that journey that you've gone through. But together as a church, this is where we're starting. And this is how we're starting. So this year, we're doing Connect Groups, Bible Study, Welcome to C3, our website, Welcome Teams, those sort of things. We'll be diving into seeking to learn his ways, his words, prayer, fasting. We've got our Lent coming up, which is our whole prayer and fasting that we do. And then we land on our Last Supper together here. And then we'll be diving into Sabbath, seeking his presence. How do we imitate? Not trying to. Because when we try, we fail. It's learning who he is, doing this together. So how do we start? And so this morning, it could be like, I need to drop my nets. I need to let go of something. I need to open my wall up. I need to open that part of my heart up. I need to understand that he's trying to knock something down. But it's starting right at the beginning. So I want to invite Vicky up. She's going to speak for just a few minutes on, 5 minutes on something, well, however long she'd like, you know, around that. Anyway, I've asked her to say something. I was having a conversation with her the other day. And Vicky comes up here with the most amazing words. But I asked her, because she said to me, I'm a person of prayer. Well, how did you become a person of prayer? After how many years of Vicky's experience, how did you become that? Because I'm so interested to know, and we should never stop being interested to know. We shouldn't try and get to where people are. We should always know where people came from to learn from here. That's what a discipleship is. How do we know from here? Because we can look at someone and go, I want to be where they are. We don't know their journey. And I can guarantee you, if we knew the journey, we'd go, no, let me just stay back there. Can guarantee you, because we don't know what it took for somebody to get to where they are. So never think, I want to be there, but I want to know how they got there. So because we're starting somewhere, I want Vicky to just speak about where she started to be that, because I think we can all learn from this.
Thank you. And just to give some context, I said I was a person of prayer in the sense of that I'm not that great a Bible studier. That was the actual context, that I find it easy to pray. I love that zone. But where it started was when I was a young Christian, about 20 years old, still in youth group. And I would say that it started with a desire. Just a very strong need to pray for one thing, one person actually, and that was my Uncle Des. So at this point, I wasn't familiar with intercession. I knew nothing about prayer burdens. I had only been born again probably at that point, you know, 1-2 years. But I suddenly got this need. I needed to pray for my uncle. Let me tell you about my uncle. He had been an alcoholic for at least 20 years. At that point, he would have been 40, early 40s. He'd been an alcoholic since his teens. He had a broken marriage. He had kids he didn't see. And no one in my family believed that he would ever go off the grog. Like, he was not in a good state. He had pancreatitis. His health was failing. And as a girl, I just got this need to pray. Now, just to set the scene, my family, particularly my dad, was not happy that I had become a born-again Christian, that I'd become a follower of Jesus. Now, we were an Italian Catholic family, but he wouldn't have known it, by the way, that he persecuted me when I came to Jesus. And so lived in a very, very small family home. I didn't have any privacy. My bedroom growing up was just like the back veranda was enclosed, so I didn't have privacy. And I was sharing with my youth pastor that I just had this real desire to pray. But I really didn't know what I was doing. I didn't really have a place. Well, they gave me the keys to the church. So on a Saturday, I would go and I would spend hours on a Saturday by myself when all my friends were having fun and doing other things. And at the time I was at uni and I was thinking driving here. I prioritized that prayer even over study, assignments. I'm not saying that was a good thing, but I did pass. I've got the degree to show it. But I committed my Saturdays to praying for hours. And it was an interesting journey because I was learning on the job. There were days and I'm thinking, this is a new tongue. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's when everything changed. Just for the record, for me, I gave my life to Jesus, but transformation really amped up, went next level when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I think, my goodness, I hear a strange unknown language coming out of my mouth, not just my usual prayer language, something else. Thinking, what's happening here? And I'd go back to my youth pastor and I'd sit with her. She'd make a cuppa and she was a prayer warrior. She was an intercessor. And I'd share with her what had happened. And so she'd explain to me, well, the Lord gives us various tongues and, you know, just submit to it. Yeah, I was by myself, so that was good. I could practice. It didn't matter what I sounded like. Sometimes I sounded like I was speaking Japanese. Sometimes I sounded like I was, you know, somewhere else. It was a real adventure. I remember the times when I'd go and just cry. I just feel to cry and weep and groan. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was just being led by the Spirit and being discipled by, her name is Iola Houston. She's now in her 80s. And she would just teach me what was happening. I tell you what, I think that's where I became a prayer. Because I just loved that journey. The Lord would show me things, give me things to declare over Uncle Des. That's all I was praying for, was Uncle Des. I think I was in, I don't know how many months I was in that, going on a, I think it might even have been almost a year. When one day my Uncle Des asked if he could come to church with me. Uncle Des came to church. There was an opportunity to receive Jesus. Uncle Des ran to the altar. Ran. I have never seen a response like it. Hands raised. No church background at all. This is Mum's side, so he's Aussie Uncle Des, right? No Catholic background, nothing. He'd say Bush Baptist. I don't know what that is. But hands raised. But also what happened is that it wasn't too long after that he booked himself into a rehab and he got set free from the addiction of alcohol. And he never had another drink. And for 30 years, He passed not long after his 70th birthday. He still had a lot of damage in his body, but no one thought he'd ever live that long. No one thought he would ever, ever be free of alcohol. And so that was my journey. I responded to this need, to this desire. I think sometimes even as Christians, we're not comfortable with the word desire. It's very easy sometimes to work out what's your desire and what's God's. I mean, just have a look at the fruit of the flesh in Galatians, I think it's chapter 4. That'll help sort it out for you. Like, so a desire to pray, is that from the devil? A desire to help someone else, is that from the devil? No. Is it from me? No, it is not from me. I am not that holy. All I care about is myself. My flesh does not give a rip about anybody else's anything. Right? And so it's probably God. I just wonder how many are here today and you've got this desire, but you think, oh, what if it's me? Or you're waiting, as Lisa said, waiting for someone to pick it out in you, to see it in you. I mean, I was so naive and so new and so young to my advantage because I just thought, I've got to do this. And I took the step of faith, share it with my pastor, and she just said, go for it. And there began. Probably I would say one of the most important, if not the most important aspect of my walk with Jesus is what you don't see, is that prayer life. So there you go. Is that, you happy, Pastor? Okay.
I'll grab you guys. I'll grab the band up. I asked for you to get up here to do that because exactly what she's saying. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. There's a desire that's God placed, that God has placed on the inside of you to go, this is where I'm going to start. So as the band's coming up, I want to finish with a quote, but I want to give you all a chance to either commit or recommit. I know that you're not visitors and all that sort of stuff here, but you might just be in that place where you go, you know what, I just actually want to commit my life right now that I'm going to go, yes, I'm going to be a follower of Christ and I'm going to start taking this journey. So I don't know if we can turn the lights down, please, Paula, Caroline. And with your eyes closed, I just want to give you this quote because this is sort of, so it's from a guy called Dallas Willard. I want to read this to you. Is being so aware of who God is, so aware of who lives on the inside of you. And he says, the first and most basic thing we can and must do. So this is if you are going, where do I start? The first and most basic thing we can and must do is keep God before our minds. This is the fundamental secret of caring for our souls. Our part in this, practicing the presence of God, is to direct and redirect our minds constantly to Him. In the early time of our practicing, we may well be challenged by our burdensome habits of dwelling on things less than God. But these are the habits, not the law of gravity, and can be broken. You are not, so I'm just going to quickly put a little thing in there. You are not bound by the things that your habits are, that you think you're bound by because they've become habits, right? A new grace-filled habit will replace the former ones as we take intentional steps towards keeping God before us. Soon our minds will return to God as the needle of a compass constantly returns to the north. If God is the great longing of our souls, He will become the pole star of our inward beings. Connection with, this is his quote's finished. Connection to God all day long, wherever you are. That's what will make you an authentic tiramisu? I mean, that rhymes, so I had to put that in there. But it's what will. It's what will make you that true follower of Christ. It's where you start. It's what will make it easier to trust God versus doubt and fear. It's what will make it easier to love one another and the person you're sitting next to, rather than be annoyed with them because of something or gossip about them. That's what will make it easier for you to love the person that annoys you, or to love the person that hurt you, or to pray for the person that hurt you. That's what will make it easier to do that, is when you have God at the forefront of your mind and your habits are changed, your priorities change, your identity is transformed. That's what transforms you on the inside. That's why your eyes are closed. If that is you and you go, you know what? I'm going to do just first a first call. If you've walked away from God or you've never made that commitment to God and that's who you want to be right now, you go, you know what? I want to recommit, or I want to commit my life to Christ as my Lord and Savior because I've either never done that or I've walked away. Just place your hand up now. So let me see your hand before we do another call. If that is you, that you go, I've walked away or I have never committed my life to Christ. I see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the whole of heaven is celebrating you right now. I reckon we should celebrate right now. Yeah. If there's still time, if you want to do that, if you want to recommit, or you go, you know what, I actually have never done that before, just there's a couple of minutes or just a minute to raise your hand if that's you and you go, I want to make that commitment to Christ. So let's all pray together for this. Thank you, Father. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive my sins. Make me anew. Exchange everything that I am and have been for a new life with you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me, Lord. Let me live a new life with you. Teach me, Holy Spirit, to guide every day with you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are in my life. Amen. And then the next group of people, if you go, you know what, I want to make this decision today that I'm going to be a follower of you. This isn't like that you need to go, okay, I'm coming out or anything like this. But if you actually want to come to the altar while they're singing and you want prayer for something, or if you go, you know what, this is just what I want to do and I just want to come to the altar, you're welcome to. But in this moment, if you go, you know what, I want to step out. You can all stand. Let's all stand. If you go, you know what, I want to step out and make this commitment this morning that I want to recommit what I already committed to in being a follower of you, but a true follower of you. I'm pretty sure that's all of us. So if I go, oh, everyone just put their hands up. Like, I mean, who's going to go, I don't want to be a follower of Christ. So I don't want to just turn around. But anyway, if you want to come to the altar of that and you want prayer for that, but I just want to pray over all of us. But if that is you and you go, you know what, I just want to be a follower of Christ, let's just stick our hands up and go, yep, that is me. I want to just make this commitment right now that I want to learn how to journey and be a true follower of you, Jesus. Transform me from the inside out from this day. Let me learn how to be an image bearer of you, Father. Let me learn how to just to bear your image, because it says that. Let me learn who you are. Let me learn your ways. Let me learn everything about you. You're already living on the inside of me. Let me break down my walls. That if that is you, that you go, you know what? I need to break down some stuff. I need to let go of some stuff. If that's just one thing right now that you need to let go of, one thing right now that you need to break down, one thing right now that you go, you know what, yep, let me release that. And you want to come down and you want to get prayer, just come down to the altar. But right now, Father God, we just thank you, Jesus, for who you are, God, that you, through your blood, that we actually get the opportunity to come to you, to know you, to be your students, for you to be our teacher, to be your follower, to be your disciple, to learn everything about you that we can become like you and more like you, to know what it's like to be actually what a true human being in your image was meant to be like before everything. You teach us that, Father. So let us move our flesh aside. Let us move everything that we are aside, our self-righteousness aside, everything that, like Ricky said, our self aside, our selfishness aside, and let us know who you are, who you've created us to be, who you shed your blood for us to be. Let us not water down the salvation that you did for us, Father, but let us take up our cross and let us be with you every day, learn who you are and be the people that you've called us to be. We're just one man, but when you bless us, we become many nations, Father. So we just thank you right now for who you are, God. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are, Jesus, for who you are in every single one of us, Father. And may you now be speaking to every single person what they need to break down, what they need to let down, what they need to let go of, Father. So I thank you that you're speaking to every person right now, that they leave this place and go, all right, you know what, Lord, I want to be a true follower of you. Teach me, Father. Give them the desires of their heart, Father. Where do they start, God? What are you placing in them, Father? Who are you calling them to be, God? What have you called them to be, Father? So I just thank you right now, Jesus, just as the band plays, whatever you want prayer for in this, just come down to the altar, just spend time with God. Just, this is your life, like I said. It doesn't affect mine, but it affects yours for eternity. So don't stay in your seat just because. Yes, he can touch you wherever you are, but there's a call when you step out. There's something when you step out and go, yes, Jesus. When Vicky said, I just made that that I go. That was a step. She could have prayed anywhere. She could have prayed outside, you know, didn't have to tell her parents, whatever it was. But she actually went, you know, let me go and pray. When you step out, you step out. You actually make a step. And you say, this is what I'm going to do. The altar's open. It's up to you whether you step. Thank you, Father.